so pray with me as we pray for Kenny. Father, we give you thanks, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Even as we sang that song, Tu estás aquí, your presence is here. We acknowledge you, and we thank you. And we lift up our brother now as he's going to minister from your word. Lord, we pray that these words would cause us to be like Philip, who ran up to the chariot with the Ethiopian eunuch, and he ministered the word of God to him and brought salvation. Father, use his words, empower him mightily, so that we're not a people that walk, but we're a people that run, that we're a people that sprint. Father, bless these words and bless Kenny as he brings them forth, and bless our hearts as we receive them. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
Morning, everybody.
Morning, Kenny.
All right, how's everybody doing this morning? I feel like I'm the visiting preacher that come in on St. Paddy's Day, being Irish and all. I haven't been here often. My job wasn't conducive for that. So if God didn't change my circumstances, 5 weeks in a row, yeah, Pastor John's counting, careful, watch. But if my job didn't change as far as my circumstances there, God changed my job. So I have been able to be here. One of the things that come to mind with that is how important it was to me to be here, because this is the body of Christ. You know, you can be doing your thing out there. You can still be studying, being in the Word and whatnot. But there is nothing like the body of Christ. There's nothing like being together with your brothers and sisters. And this is something that he's set up. This is something that we did, that we're doing right now, gathering together, right? Pastor Don, can I see you for a minute? Pastor John, can you come up here? Bob, can I have the elders come up? Any elders in the house? That's elders, not just old people, even though they're old.
Some of us are
old. Yeah. Now, one of the things that God showed me with the body of Christ is that it wasn't just built upon Pastor John. Pastor John is an individual. He can be moved around. It wasn't just built upon Pastor Don, because despite what he thinks, he can be moved around. Right? Or John, or Bob, or myself, or Eddie. I know I've seen him. Right? It wasn't built upon just us. It's built upon him. It's built upon the rock. Right? But what he did, and what he's doing, is that he turned around and brought us together. Let's lock arms, guys. He brought us together, because now it's going to be even harder for the enemy to turn around and come against the body of Christ. And he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. He started bringing in other leaders, other people that would lead. Most of them are doing it right now. They're in a classroom, leading, teaching the youth. Right? He brought each and every one of us to lock arms. Tony, Brianna, you're locked arms. Arms are locked. This is your body. This is where he brought you, to lock arms with one another. So guess what? As much as we'd like to push Bob down, he ain't going nowhere. He ain't going. I know, you see. Look at all the thoughts they had. You guys can repent for that sin. You wanted to see that, didn't you? But it'd be hard to push him down, because he's being held up. He's connected. And that's why it's, okay, gentlemen, I just wanted to tell you what to do.
Thank you.
Yes. But it's important to understand that you have to be connected. It was God's intent to connect you to his body, to his family. And guess what? Are you going to like everybody here at all times? No, you're not. If you hang out, I mean, you can be in your own family. My kids don't like me all the time. There was that one time, yeah, if I recount. But they don't like you all the time. They don't like what you do all the time. They don't like what you say all the time. But don't break the connection just because of that. It's still family. Why? Because I know I do the same thing to people. I rub people the wrong way. I say things, I do things that they don't like. It's still family. There's still that connection. You have to turn around, as my wife taught on, you have to work and have a resolution for that. Right, dear? She knows that more than anybody, being married to me. There's got to be a resolution. We got to come up with a solution here, right? So God wants to come up with a solution for his children, for his family. He wants you to be connected, right? And the enemy comes against that. I don't know if you guys are aware of that, but the enemy comes against us being connected to the body, taking place and taking part of the body, being a true part of the body. It's not just about coming here. Because if you're connected to the body, you're going to have to do something. You're going to serve in some capacity. You know, you're going to be able to help out in some capacity. And I remember long ago, that's where that revelation came in, that I could show up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, you know, and feel like I was connected, but I just didn't have that true, deep connection until I put myself out there and started serving, saying, what can I do? Use me, Lord. However you choose to do it, use me. And that needs to be our heart's desire, but the enemy comes against that. Comes against it all the time. Being St. Paddy's Day and being Irish, I set it up in class. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the enemy coming against us as a body, right? Coming against certain individuals in this body. I'm tired of it. It's like, enough is enough, you know, when I was telling them up there, there's a line's been drawn in the sand. This, it's enough. You know, we need to have that attitude and that stamina and that perseverance to take back what he's stolen from us. Take it back. And it starts in prayer. That's why we begin praying upstairs. It starts in prayer. It starts with a continuing of locking arms with Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and allowing him to move in our life. Saying, Lord, I don't know how this is going to get done, but it needs to get done. And you spend that time with them. Here we have a young couple, Tony and Brianna. They're starting to build their life together. You got all the answers? Not at all, but he does. That's where you begin to pursue him, as Pastor John was saying. Run after him, because he has the answers. And he's going to begin to teach you and reveal that to you. He has a great destiny for you. He really does. And that destiny is not tied to all the lies that the enemy has spread. All the mistakes that you have made, it's not tied to that. There's a new song that he's going to put in your hearts. A new song. And you have to have vision for that. You got to tear down those lies that it looks like it's never going to happen. You may have to fight for it. You may stumble, but it's going to happen. Because he finishes what he starts. Sarah, if we could play that song. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things about not being here and having to work was making a choice. You know, it's those choices that you step out in faith, and that was to quit my job. You know, and being as young as I am at 55, you know, knowing that that's, you know, may put a little bit of stress on my wife, you know, switching careers, insurance, and all the stuff that comes with that, you know, and all the lies that can come with that, of what's going to happen, the unknown, you know. But the time that I was away, God showed me how important it is to be connected to the body. And it wasn't just about me, you know, because you know how we are. Is our human nature, sometimes we'll just keep going through that because we don't believe God for something better. Enemies come in, and life itself, the weariness of life, causes us to turn around and just grow weary that we don't believe for something better. Something better that enables us to turn around and glorify God, to worship God, to praise God, to be with His family, to be with our brothers and sisters. And He was stealing from me. He was stealing from you. And that's where that line gets drawn. Enough is enough. You know, Lord, you need to put me in a different field. Enough is enough. You know, and I knew the door was closed. You know, so I chose to leave before they closed the door. I let God close the door and I left. Got me a nice job, got me a new van that I don't have to pay for, don't have to put gas in, oil, nothing, right? You know, and like little kids when we pray, right, we come to God like little kids. My son came to me and he's like, so you're parking your car, right? You don't need your car no more? You know, he's grown, married, and gone, but he's like, well, can I have it? Like kids, he has no problem asking for stuff. You know, we have problems as adults a lot of times asking. We think we don't deserve it. That's what the enemy tells us. That's a lie. We do deserve it because we have a Heavenly Father that loves us, fights for us. You know? And being away, I was telling Fred and Esther, we had them over for dinner, that you want to fight for those that can't fight for themselves. There's times that we can fight for ourselves, but there's times where life just deals you a blow that at that time, you need to be fighting for them. That's part of the body, fighting for others that can't fight for themselves. At that time, it's not like they never fought for themselves before, or they didn't believe. I entitled this, Believe Again. But in the midst of that, they need some fighting. They need somebody fighting for them. We have a lot of young people, Matthew and his girlfriend there, fiance, right? Ever since Matthew came over to the house, I've been fighting for them. Fighting for the foundation that God's going to lay. They may not see it. They may not understand how they're going to accomplish that, just like Brianna and Tony. But trust me, God's going to lay a foundation for you too. He has plans for you, a destiny for you. And so I've been fighting for that. God's back to, you know, with this job change and stuff, He's back to waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, that spiritual side of me is like, you got to be kidding. Lord, it can't be you calling me, right? No, He's back to waking me up and praying. You know, I'm like, okay, let's pray. And we pray for those that are sick. That's part of the body. Praying for those that are sick. A few of the names got called out today, but there's more. And God makes it personal. He puts people on your heart to pray for them, to fight for them. That's that unity. That's that locking arms to move forward. If there's anything to be said, I want to see us move forward this year. This particular body, this particular group of people, those that are here and those that haven't made it today. That we have locked arms. That if they're not here today, that doesn't matter. We're locked arms. They're locked in. You know, and we're going to move this thing forward. We're going to build God's kingdom. That means we're going to have to step outside of ourselves. It's going to cost you. As Pastor Don would always say, it's going to cost you. You need to consider the cost. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you energy. It's going to cost you money. Hear that, Bob? It's going to cost you money. Yep. Some of us work hard for that money. Some of us don't. Right, Bob? Take advantage of this foundation. But it's going to cost you. You need to consider them costs. And we talked about serving. We talked about serving in this body, reaching out to the lost, reaching out to those that have stepped away, that need to come back. Those that never came. I got me a whole new mission field on my job. Monday, I'm going to have a gentleman in a scissor lift with me. He ain't got nowhere to run. We'll be 20 feet up in the air. You know? And there's three dogs in the alley that if he runs, he's in trouble. So he's stuck. But that's just it. There's a mission field out there. The mission field begins first and foremost in here. Then it goes to our family. But it spreads out from here. Because it's not just about this body. It's not just about this group of people here. About those that God's looking to bring into this house. Now let's not forget that. We can enjoy what God's done for us and the blessings he bestowed upon us and the blessings he's going to continue to bestow upon us. But by all means, we need to be reaching outside of ourselves, looking for those opportunities to be a blessing to those that are out there. And you know, the hardest ones to be a blessing to are those that may not deserve it. They may have messed up and messed up and messed up and messed up, and you're like, no. You know? But God would still call us to be obedient. Right, Pastor John? To be obedient and say, you know what? This time we're gonna do it again. And that may be the one seed that gets sown again, that they finally came to that conclusion that you love them. That you too can forget about the past and focus on the future. You know, what's the future of this particular body? That's what we have. What's the future? Because the future begins with each and every one of us. So that's what you got to ask. What's the future of this body? Where we see ourselves headed this year? What part am I to play in this? Because each one of you have a part. Every one of you have a part to play in what God wants to do in this particular body. And because of that, you have to ask yourself, what part am I to play in it? And am I doing it? Am I doing it to the fullest of my ability? And if you don't know how to do it, that's great. That's actually the best place to be, because then you'll be dependent upon God and not your own abilities. That's what I found when I turned around and came to church. I'm like, you want me to teach the Sunday school, the little kids? You got to be kidding. How am I going to relate to them? He says, you don't know? I said, no. He said, well, good. I'll teach you. So that causes us in that desperation to go to him, saying, Lord, well, then teach me. Teach me it. We humble ourselves. And Lord, teach me then. You might find yourself doing something that you never expected. You might find yourself doing something that you shouldn't be doing. You know, you'll have one of the leadership going, maybe that's just not your gifting. You know? But God will start pointing out and drawing out your giftings, so that you can be a vital part of this body. How many here believe they're a vital part of this body? Okay, not everybody's hand went up. And that's where I get upset, because the enemy somehow, some way has come in and made you believe or doubt that you're a vital part of this body. Every one of you are needed. Every one of you are wanted in this body. Every one of you. We ain't looking to have you cleaned up before we accept you. You're accepted just like we were, right where we're at. That'll come in time. You know how I know that? Because I'm not done yet, and he's not done cleaning me up yet. It comes in time, getting cleaned up, and being ready in that sense. Nobody here came in ready. I don't care what you've seen up here with the leadership. Nobody came in here already ready. And God is not done with any of us up here that we're standing up here by a long shot. He's never satisfied until our hearts are fully set upon Him. And we know that we can hang our head down because our hearts, one moment, are set upon Him 100%. How it is, an hour later, I can find my heart wandering. Wandering. So as much as I've been in the ministry, as much as I've been walking with God, I can find my heart wandering. That means that you're the same as me. I'm the same as you. The Spirit of God, what's nice about the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ died, rose again, sent His Holy Spirit to live and dwell with us, is that the Spirit of God lives and dwells in anybody that asks, anybody that believes in Jesus Christ. And that Spirit is no respecter of persons. The same Spirit that lives, do you admire this man? The same Spirit that lives and dwells within him lives and dwells within you. You, being as young as you are, would be able to accomplish far more than he ever dreamed of. That's a truth. That's what the enemy doesn't want spoken, truth. Now you got to take that truth and you got to say, oh, I don't know. Looking at him, come on, as much as he stumbled, and God still loved him in the midst of it. Still, God isn't done with him, and God still, listen, I chose him just like I chose you. And he chose you. And he chose you too. He chose you. He didn't care where you were. He didn't care what kind of mess you were in. He chose you too. You're like, I wouldn't choose me. What do you mean he chose me? But he sees all. He sees the finished product. What we see when we look in the mirror is what we've seen today and what we've seen in our past. We need to get a glimpse of our future. Because your days change. You're not where you were 5 years ago. Your days will change. So I'm going to put my trust and my future in his hands. But that means, and that's where the prayer comes in, that means I got to be listening, not just hearing. Now, sometimes we get so busy in life, and that's what chokes out the life of God. We get so busy in life, we come, and we heard the songs. We sung the songs, but we weren't listening to the words. We weren't allowing them to meditate and think, what is it that was just said? Because it's the words of Christ, the words in that Bible, that's your tool when those winds and waves come to turn around and rebuke that. You know, to rebuke it, to stand upon. Despite what you see, despite what you're feeling, anybody feel like God wasn't there? How many here felt God was not in their life at some point or another? Guess what? That was a lie. That was a lie. He was there. We might not have understood how he was there. We might not have even believed it in a sense. Like, how could he be here? Look what I'm going through. And it wasn't based on something that we did. It's based on what he said, that he would never leave us or forsake us. And thank God we serve a God that's faithful, that's true to his word, that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, that we're able to turn around and have an opportunity through grace and mercy to grow. You know, like I said many times, that's what I told my kids. You want some grace and mercy? You know, in this situation, to grow? Like, yeah, Dad, we don't want the wrath. You know, want grace and mercy? They think that I was just being a loving father. You know, what God showed me when I was, you know, correcting them. Well, you know, Ken, how about you? You want some grace and mercy? I'm like, yeah, Ken needs some grace and mercy, so I think I need to extend it. I need grace and mercy today. I thank God that his grace and his mercy is renewed each morning, because I need it each day. Now, I haven't found, even in my sleep, that I walk a perfect day. You know? We need to turn around and put our eyes upon Christ, put our eyes upon Jesus, not the lies of the enemy. There's things that the enemy has told you, lied to you about, and you need to turn around and get with Christ, get with Jesus, get in that prayer time and say, listen, how is that true? What makes that true? What makes that the finality of the thing? As far as I know, we're all living and breathing here. There ain't no dead people here. So what makes that the final word? It's not. Anybody here have dreams? Hopes? I was asking my daughter-in-law. I says, what's your dreams and hopes for your little baby who's 8 months old, almost 8 months, for her husband? She, what? I said, we live in the here and now. And without a vision, you're going to perish. God's kingdom is bigger than the here and now. We read about his kingdom in the years past. You see what he's done. But he's not done. There's a future for us. There's a future for our kids. There's a future for our grandkids. And you may not even understand it or be able to put words to it, but there's a future for their kids. You look at the world now, and it looks like a storm. It sounds like a storm. It sounds like there's waves everywhere, if you listen to any news. Sounds like the world's been turned upside down. That's a lie. God's still in control. No matter what it does, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, God is still in control. Now, that doesn't mean that we understand how it's all going to come about. But it needs to come about first in our hearts before it's ever going to come about out there. So it's our hearts that we have to lay upon that altar and say, Lord, here I am. Have your way. Do what it is that you want to do. Do what you do. Amen? And that's not an easy thing to do, to lay your life down. Because it's going to cost you. I mean, when you seriously think about it, what's it going to cost you? You know, hey, I'm not going to get to do what I want, maybe. You know, I always tease the kids. Say, hey, what are you doing next Saturday? I got something that I got planned. I need some help. I'm busy. What are you busy doing? I'm busy waiting for the next best thing to do before I have to work for you. That's kind of what we do. We don't make those plans because it does cost us. And when we do make them, and you're beginning to work and step out in that, there's always something that looks better on the other side. Oh, man, I knew I shouldn't have planned nothing. I could have been doing that, keeping myself open for what I want to do. There's something to be said for commitment. God's committed himself to each and every one of us. He's committed himself to each and every one of us. How do you know he has? He died for us. I don't know how much of a stronger commitment we can see or get that he died for us. I don't think he did that to say, you know, 10 years down the road, I'm no longer committed to you. I wish I wouldn't have done that. No, somehow, some way, him being God, he's going to get us to where he wanted us to be. I just hope it's not always the hard way, like I seem to choose. One more time around this mountain, I guess. One more time around this mountain, I guess. Whereas I get tired, I say, Lord, you know what? I'm tired. He says, it's about time. It's about time you got tired. You know? Now, I can move. Now you're willing to listen. Now you're teachable. Now you're going to be able to soar with the eagles. Now you're being able to minister, bring words of life to those that are brokenhearted, those that are bound up. And we sing all these songs. I like praise and worship. There's a song out there called Chainbreaker. Do we really want to see the chains broken in people's lives? The lies torn down? Because the enemy is all, he's out there. He's lying to these people all the time. I mean, my new job, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just crazy. You know? I think it's fun. I know, and I have the truth. You know? And I feel like, really? That's what you think? That's what you believe? And they've built their lives upon lies. But at the same time, we can do that in the church. We can continue to try to build on lies and things that have happened in the past. That's done. That's been washed by the blood of Christ. We've been cleansed. You know? You want to lie with that? You've been cleansed. Oh, I did it again. No way can I be cleansed again. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Now, you might not like the fact that nature of ours might not like the fact that we have to keep coming back to Christ to be cleansed until we gain some wisdom and understanding to not do it again. But until then, you can be cleansed. And if you're finding yourself in that rut, give me some understanding. Give me some wisdom. Because I don't want to be doing this again. You know, give me some insight. Give me the ability to submit myself to the body, to people that have been through that, gotten through that, that are down that road a little further. And you shadow them. You know how you shadow them? I play this on my kids and Ed all the time. You shadow them if you want to learn something by, here you go. Here's the nail gun. You put the wall up now. I'll tell you when you're doing it wrong. You're going to serve them. You're going to serve them in the midst of shadowing them. And then you're going to get to see how they live. Truly how they live. How they act. Right? You know, we have people, over, they see how we act. They see what we eat. They see everything. That's why they don't come back, maybe. Just kidding. They come back for the food, just like the kids. My wife's fear was that the kids get all grown up and she wouldn't see them no more. I said, if you buy them food, they'll come back. Trust me, they'll come back. And then God has a sense of humor, so she buys them food. She bought them a tray of lasagna. I come home from work and I'm like, what's that? That's lasagna. I said, we don't eat lasagna no more. We're, you know, doing low carbs. Well, I bought that for the kids. I'm like, we're grocery shopping for the kids now? We don't even eat that. If they come over, they should eat what we eat. So it's fun. It is. God has a sense of humor because the kids come over and you think, oh, okay, we're going to eat. She cooks a lasagna. I get the roast beef and, you know, carrots, potatoes, all what I can have. And Shane comes over. He eats my food. Takes his home. Takes his home. I says, honey, I think you need to sever this relationship with your son. And God's like, you're the one that told her to do it. I didn't know how it was going to play out. He said, well, you need to trust me. Ouch. We need to trust him. We don't always know how it's going to play out. But if there's anybody that we can trust living this life, it's going to be him. I'm telling you, truth is, it can be, if there's anybody that you can trust, it is him. It is him. Amen? I'm going to play one more song and we're going to end. This is a song that I'm sure that I have been told that people walk around the church singing. So even though it is a second song, I picked a song that they walk around the church singing, so it didn't go long.
You are here. moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you.
If I could have the prayer team come up. That's me. Hallelujah. You know, you hear that song and there isn't really much to say. You know, it says it all. It really does. You know, and that's why I love worship. I love listening to the words, not just hearing it. You know, for others, they're listening to the music, the instruments, you know, stuff like that. But you take those words to heart. You know, like I said, it was entitled, Believe Again, Who We Serve. Believe that He chose you. He chose you. He loves us. We can't even fathom really how much He loves us. But I'm going to say, we got the prayer team up here. If you need prayer, please, don't let the enemy lie to you. Come up and get prayer. Amen? Otherwise, you guys will be dismissed. We have coffee and donuts upstairs in the fellowship hall. Do I want to pray? I'm going to have Ed close us in prayer. I like picking on people.
Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this message, Lord. We thank you for the time that Ken has spent. Lord, we thank you for making the way for him, Lord God. We thank you for his new job, Lord God, that brought him back into the body and in a more active way, Lord God. And we thank you. And Lord, we just pray your blessings upon Ken and on all of us in Jesus' name. Amen.